So, Lord, we just again, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your mercies again that are new every morning. Lord, your word says in Jude that keep ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Through all our walk here on the earth, it's because of your mercy, it's because of your grace. And so, Lord, we pray, and has been prayed already, God. We just thank you, Lord, for that mercy. We thank you, Father. And we're counting on you to bring this about, speaking in our hearts, putting it in our minds as you promised, Lord, in a new covenant. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Turn with me to Exodus 34. Actually, we're going to go to 33 first. Let's start of Exodus 33:19. And he said, meaning God, talking to Moses, and God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Moses, you know, asked to see his glory, and then God said, okay, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. This, you know, in the beginning, this is why we're starting here, because mercy is all through the Bible. But we see that this is his name. This is who he is. This is his character. It isn't an attribute that he has in a sense, a quality he has. It's who he is. Like God is love. So in Exodus 34, in verse 5, the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. Now this is the name of the Lord. He just said they're going to proclaim the name of the Lord. This is the name of the Lord. He is who he says he is. I, the Lord God, merciful. First thing out of his mouth is merciful. Gracious. Long-suffering. Abundant in goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Iniquity is perverseness of our nature. Transgression sort of represents rebellion. And sin is the actual things that we do because we're wicked. Iniquity. And transgression because we're rebellious. And that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. Here we see that he's mercy. He's keeping mercy for thousands. The first thing he says about his name is he's merciful. Another in the Hebrews means full of compassion. He's merciful and he's mighty. Amen? Now, we got both sides of God here. It isn't just grace, but there is judgment. But first of all, he wants to put forth the grace. This is who I am. But he will by no means clears the guilty. So I don't want to be guilty. Amen? Amen? It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Okay, let's go to Samuel. 2 Samuel 7:15. Okay, this is God talking to David. Let's start at verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Both sides of the coin. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Later on, he says, and whom I will, I harden. He hardens. You'll see that. But what we want to see is this. We need his mercy. We need that mercy. And when we have that mercy, we really need to be thankful. We really need to praise God. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 25. Now, we're talking about Amaziah. In the beginning, well, verse 1, it says, Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was something rather Jehoiada of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. And so he does some good things. But in 14, now it came to pass that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir, and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down before them, and burned incense unto them. Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of your hand? Crazy, right? It came to pass, as he talked with them, that the king said unto them, art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear. Why shouldest thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy you, because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. Wow. We can't even repent without God's help. God sent the prophet, just like he sent the prophet to David. And remember, we know what happened to David. You know, he sinned, was Bathsheba, had her husband killed. And, you know, he's not repentant, he's just going hiding it. But remember, he said, I will not remove my mercy from your seed as I removed it from Saul. But he didn't remove it from David either. In the prophecy this morning, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus unto eternal life. It's pretty close to, by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift. Amen? It's always a gift. It's always by his mercy. That's why it says his mercies are new every morning. When I come to the place where I don't think I need his mercy, I am in trouble. Amen? It's like a child thinking he doesn't really need his parents. Or he doesn't need his parents' advice. Who said that? David. Yes. And maybe we've all been there one time. I don't know about you, Bill, but you know, there's been times I think they didn't know what they were talking about. But then we grow older and we're supposed to grow wiser. We're supposed to come to the place where thinking, well, I think they knew what they were talking about here. Not that our parents are perfect, but they knew a lot more because they had gone through it. Amen? But what we needed to be as teenagers or, you know, young adults was the fact that God, or my parents too, know a little bit more than I do. Amen? Even though my siblings my, you know, friends and everything said, you know, that it's okay. This is what you need, and what the world was saying. What we need is mercies. Amaziah had become proud. And as you look at a lot of the kings, they must have become proud, and so because they didn't take counsel when it was sent to them. Even Josiah, you know, whom God really used, and you know, he was really doing good things. And people had peace, he had restored things, and things were going really good. And then Necho comes up, and you know, he's going to war against this other country, and then Josiah says, I'm going to, you know, go out against him. And Necho says, don't come against me, because God has sent me on this trip. And he wouldn't listen to him, because after all, he's a heathen king. But it said in the Bible that God was speaking through Necho, but Josiah didn't pick it up. His mercies are new every morning, and I need them every morning. You need them every morning. Amen? 2 Chronicles 5. We're in 2 Chronicles. Go to 2 Chronicles 5, 13. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. This is the one, you know, Solomon built the temple. They put all the stuff in there. They did everything, you know, put everything where it should be. And when they take the stays out of the thing, you know, and they begin to praise God. They begin to praise God. What they're praising God is for, that his mercy endureth what? Forever. I need it today, but we're going to need it tomorrow. Amen? Yeah. And I'm going to need it the next day. Well, yeah, but aren't you going to grow to a place where you don't need it anymore because you're doing everything right? No. We're never going to get there. Amen? We need him. Without him, I'm going to get messed up. Without him, I'm going to get into pride. I'm going to get into something, because I am being kept by the power of God. We're being kept by the power of God through faith. The faith is believing in him, not in us. Amen? And we've, you know, used people that have fallen, you know, evangelists, pastors, teachers, people that knew the word of God frontwards and backwards and forwards, and they were being used of God in mighty works, and proud, you know, pride came in, and some of them were completely destroyed. Some of them repented, and God restored. But we got to see here. We want to look at this. Saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. So the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. This, you see, this is the name of the Lord. This is the first thing God said. He's merciful. That's the beginning of his name. That's the beginning of his character. He's merciful. We can be thankful he's merciful. Or we wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. But because his mercies are new every morning. 2 Chronicles 7, 1 through 3. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, it's the temple, but after Solomon's prayer, the end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Yeah. Hallelujah. Same phrase. You see, it's connected with God. And it's the truth. It isn't because they did all this stuff. You know, that they built the temple, that they, you know, they gave the offerings. And it wasn't that God was just rewarding them. They didn't take it as, well, God owes it to us because we gave for this temple. We, you know, provided for this temple. We wanted the temple. And this is, we're doing this great thing for God. It's like We prophesied your name, we cast out devils in your name, we've done many for works in your name. And he'll say, depart from your workers, iniquity, I don't know you. They're not depending on the mercy of God, they're depending on their works. I don't want to depend. And it's so deceiving. But the truth is that makes me free is that it's his mercy that he ever uses you or he uses me. Amen? So glory goes to God. Like Paul says, who is Apollos? Who is Cephas? Who is Paul? You know, Apollos, I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God that gave the increase. Amen? And it's God that's going to give us the increase in our lives. It's God that's going to fill our boats with fish. Like they toiled all night. And Jesus said, have you caught anything, guys? No, they didn't catch anything. They didn't catch anything. Even I could catch one all night. I should catch one. But they didn't catch anything, and they're fishermen. And he just tells them, throw your net on the other side. Not a big deal. They didn't have to, you know, nothing. Just throw the net on the other side. And they couldn't hardly haul it in. They needed help to haul it in. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy, through his grace. By grace you are saved. By grace I am saved. I got to be as a little child all the time and remember that it's God's grace that he uses. It's God's grace that he would use us in any way, in any capacity. It's his mercy. It's his grace. Okay, now in verse 6, and the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. And when David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded the trumpets before them all, before them, and all Israel stood. It's a phrase that they were repeating. It's something like we would say, you know, we plead the blood. Well, this is one of those things. His mercy endureth forever. Go to 20, chapter 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I thought of this, Miss Michelle, when you were ministering to us there. 20:21. And of course, this is when, you know, this huge host came against Jehoshaphat. And he said, we have no might to stand against this great army. We just don't have the ability to withstand the enemy. And so they go before God. And they're asking God what to do. And then God tells them what to do. He says, you won't need to fight in this battle. But put the priests out there singing. And so they're going to go into battle. And at verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth unto the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. People have been healed when they were praising God in the church. People have been healed when they were praising God at home. People have been healed even when they're feeling, when they're in their pain. And God says to start, I think of the testimony of the missionary that was in China. And just way back there, she had smallpox, and you know the people had prayed for her and everything, and nothing seemed to get any better. And God told her, "If you'll praise me for each pox, I'll heal you." And so she began to say, "Thank you, Lord, for this pox. I thank you for this pox. I thank you for this." And I don't know where she got, but she was healed. Okay, I've been healed, and I bet you have too. Times I get these headaches, used to get these headaches so bad, and I'm, you know, kneeling at the bed, and I'm holding my head a certain way, and I don't want to move, I don't even want to breathe, it just hurts so bad, And then something inside said, praise me. And I'm not going to talk. I don't want to breathe. I don't want to breathe heavy. And I just said, praise you, Lord. And when I said that one time, then he gave me faith to say it a second time and a third time. And each time I got louder. And I could feel it, and I could sense, you know, the enemy saying to me, "Oh, I'm going to take the top of your head off when you stop, man. You know, your head's going to be pounding like, you know, you better stop now. But every time I said it, God gave me the grace to say it louder the next time, and say it louder the next time. And next thing you know, I got up, and I started to walk, which I would never have done. And I started walking through the kitchen. And I remember somebody, and I think it was Barbara, gave us this little, I don't want to say statue. It was a figurine. It was a lion. And, you know, you paint it. It was, you know, it's just something that's set there. And anyway, I would, you know, God give me a verse, and that was Satan. By the time God was done, I was completely healed of that headache, migraine, whatever it was. But he dwells in the praises of his people. And it's just being obedient to what he's telling you to do, what to do. You know, sometimes, one time he told me to go to sleep. Somebody told me, go lay down. I says, I can't lay down. Not with a headache. I can't lay down with these headaches. I just can't. And God said, listen to what he told you to do and just do it. So I said, I'll try it. And I went in and laid down 15 minutes, woke up, I was completely gone. So it's what God is saying. But he might say to you in the midst of your pain and anguish, praise me, okay? Or you can start praising him. And one of the things we can say is, praise God for his mercies endureth forever, amen? So then Satan can't come with us, well, you did this, and you're not perfect, and you're not that, and you don't deserve a healing, and you're da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But his mercies are new every morning. Amen? And his mercies endure forever. Praise God. It's a weapon. All right, Psalms 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Of course, now you're the temple of God. I'm the temple of God. So this is what we need to be, the attitude. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow. I need the mercy. I don't want to get so proud that I don't need his mercy anymore. I thank thee, O Father, that I'm not like other men. Well, you're going to go home, but you're not going to be justified. It's when we admit that we need him. Praise God. We humble ourselves in his sight. Psalm 33. Let's start verse 16. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in or trust in his mercy. That's why I believe he came. I am merciful. Merciful. You can come boldly before the throne of grace that you may attain mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need. Amen? Because your Father in heaven is merciful. Amen? Because once Satan gets you to sin, once Satan gets you to mess up, then he turns right around and he condemns you with it. And he's trying to keep you from going back to God because you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Of course, that's the truth is we didn't deserve it in the beginning. Amen? Amen. So it's just a fact that his mercies are new every morning. He's long-suffering. He's kind. He's patient. Wow. So, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, and trust in, that wait on Another definition is wait, be patient, stay, tarry on, to trust Him, to wait on Him. Mercy, praise God. Okay, to Psalms 51, David's prayer after the prophet had come to him and said, you're the man, you're the sinner, you're the one. Because David's judging this guy that killed the other man's sheep. It's just a story. But he judges him and he said, that guy ought to die and he ought to restore sevenfold. And then the prophet says, yeah, you're the man. And right there, the mercy of God, sending a prophet to him. Bring him up short, because if he lets him go, he's going to go to hell. He didn't repent. He didn't ask God to forgive him. And God wanted to forgive him. And God didn't take his mercy away from him. And he sent the prophet. And then David repented. And right away he says, yeah, and God has taken away your sin. God has taken care of it. And David starts out verse 1 with his prayer. Have mercy upon me, God. Have mercy upon me, because of all the great things I have done for you, because I did this and I did that. No. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy, what? Loving kindnesses. Wow. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Wow. He believed God would do it. Amen. He realized he needed it. He realized that, you know, after being king for a while, he just got a little bit proud here. And he began to think that he could do things other people couldn't do. When we start to get proud, God fades away. And we don't have the fear of God anymore. And so he does things that were unthinkable for the little shepherd boy. But we got to watch, because we can all drift away. So be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is trying to set you up, and it set David up. But here, after he's getting convicted of this, God gives him mercy. God said he's going to have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. He could have hardened his heart like Amaziah. But David repented because God had mercy on him. God granted him repentance. You can ask for it. You can ask God for it. Whatever things you desire, when you believe, you receive them, you shall have them. Ask Him for it. Amen? Don't take it for granted. Oh, I'd repent if somebody would show me. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. I cannot count on myself. I've got to believe in God. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Amen? We are saved by believing in Jesus Christ. Amen? He's the Son of God. That he died on the cross for our sins. We're believing in Him. We're believing in what He did for us. He's merciful. God's merciful. He's gracious, full of compassion, long-suffering, keeping mercy for thousands. Then He's washed me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleansed me from my sin. God can do it. Amen? And He's justified in doing it because Jesus Christ paid the price. Now this is before Calvary, of course. But that's what John said, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just, justified in forgiving us our sin, and then cleansing us from all unrighteousness or all iniquity, all tendencies of wickedness. In other words, He can change your heart. But I gotta believe it. He is the way. Amen. There's only one way. Woke up one morning and first thing popped in my mind, and I can't bring it back exactly the way it came because it was just right. But it was everything you do, Everything you do yourself is self-righteousness and it stinks. Jesus is your righteousness. Jesus is my righteousness. Amen? That's why Paul had to really get on this about circumcision, because they were trusting in circumcision as, you know, giving them some more righteousness. You don't need any more righteousness. God's given you all the righteousness you need. You were made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. We're to do the works that God wants us to do because God wants us to do them. And in doing them, it's just our... I've only done those things which
I was told to do.
Just like a servant, you know. I've only done those things which required of me. Jesus Christ paid it. Jesus Christ paid it. And because he paid it, I don't need any more righteousness. But what I do need to do is just do what he tells me to do when he tells me to do it. Amen? Otherwise, I'm being disobedient. I'm trying to establish my own righteousness, and it's filthy rags. Okay, so, all right, so, for I acknowledge my transgressions, my sin is ever before me. I mean, it's there. When you mess up, man, it's there. And the devil makes sure you know it's there. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that you might be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and sinned, and my mother conceived me. We were all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. So purge me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Oh, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a constant spirit. Not up and down. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way. Sinners will be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. He killed an innocent man. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. He's asking God to do all this stuff that needs to be done. And it's all based on the fact that he's king. No. It's all based on the fact that I'm David. I'm a man after your own heart. No. He didn't come to him with that. You know all the good things that I did here and the things that I did there, they ought to outweigh this, what I've done here. Can I put this against? No. He comes to God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. Unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. He's going back. It's going back to what God spoke to Moses. The name of the Lord. He's proclaiming the name of the Lord. Merciful, full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, kind, gentle. You know, these qualities, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Praise God. Okay, let's go to the New Testament. 2 Timothy 2:24. You know, Satan paints a picture to people that... He does that to Christians too, but he does that to the people in the world. That God is just a, you know, tyrant, and he just expects this, that, and the other things that are impossible. And but you see, his mercies. Okay. 2:24. 2 Timothy 2:24. Now the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taking them captive by his will. God can grant repentance. And so we need to pray that for people. that God would grant them repentance. That's what Moses did with the children of Israel. They had sinned. I mean, it wasn't that they did a little thing. They did this. It's pretty bad when he goes through all this stuff to get him out of Egypt, showing forth his glory and his power, and they forget all that stuff, even seeing all their enemies drowned in the Red Sea. And a few days later, they're worshiping a calf. That's the flesh, man. That's our flesh. That's what man will do. That's what women will do. That's what we'll do. But see, God can grant us repentance. Our hope is built on Him. My trust is built on Him. I can't count on myself to see. I can't count on myself to see, well, I'll examine myself. I'll keep myself straight. You can't keep yourself straight. He begun a good work in you. He said He's going to finish it. But I can ask God, and He wants to do this. He wants to be my Father who is in heaven. When you pray this way: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. One of the things is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or some say the evil one. Well, no, that's my job. I got to do that. No. We got to do certain things, but not without Him. We need to do them with Him. Amen? Hallelujah. No other name. You know, the name that's greater than any other name. And His mercy, He says, He rejoices in mercy above judgment. He delights in showing mercy. Learn what this means. I will have mercy
and not sacrifice.
I told the Pharisees that. Go see what this means. They were good at keeping the law, but they needed to see how loving God was and how He wanted people to repent. Amen? Mm-hmm. And so I got to be merciful with other people. I've got to forgive other people. And what I need to do is pray, God, grant them repentance. Open their eyes to see. That's what I ran into this week. You can't convince somebody by arguing with them. They couldn't convince me either. It's what God says is the truth. Amen? And if I know the truth, it's going to make me free. It's going to make you free. Even if it seems like it's bad. If God reveals to you where there's pride, or where you're judging somebody else, or where you're looking down on somebody else because you've been tricked into thinking that you're somebody because you've done this and done that, Satan is sneaky. But the Spirit of God in you is greater than Satan. And He's given to us to lead us and guide us into all truth. So as I lean on Him, as I acknowledge Him in all my ways, as, God, what am I to do here? What am I to do? God, where's the top of that gas cap? Where's that gas cap that fits on there? You know, God's able to keep you from falling. God's able to present you faultless before His presence with exceeding joy.
That's what's warm, left of a cover of a precious one.
Yeah, there you go. See? Because of Jen's perseverance, because of Jen's watchfulness over this building, it didn't burn down. Now, God used Jennifer. And God used the sound man to call Jennifer to say, I've got this part that I want to drop off.
But it was God who showed us mercy.
Right? The sound man interrupted her birthday to give her a present that we're going to pay for. And so that's why Jennifer was in the building. And so she's... see smoke, and the first thing she looks for is a boy in there smoking in the bathroom. No.
Candles on her birthday.
Yeah, candles, yeah. But she said she came in the sanctuary and there was a mist here, and she knew it wasn't the glory cloud, so.
She has
this thing she can stick on her phone, and what does it do? It picks up thermal
signal, yeah.
so she could find Bella in the middle of the night out there. What do you do when it says you got Bella and you turn up to be a black bear?
Run.
But God did that, or this place could have burnt down, right? And then Dave would have to come here and give us an estimate. But his mercies are new every morning, amen? Yes. So he arranged all that, but nobody knew what they were doing, amen? He's just delivering something that he's had for a while, and he just got it, and then it just happened to fit in his schedule. It just happened to fit in her schedule that she wasn't out shopping yet on her birthday. And, you know, it just happened that I listened to the phone when I got down to Bedford. I didn't, you know, just to see if somebody had called, because we were in a place where, and God arranged all this stuff. But he's doing that in your life. Amen? He's doing it in our lives. And we're not even knowing it. But he's leading us and he's guiding us. If we acknowledge him. Amen? If we acknowledge him. And if down in our heart we're really not trusting in our own ability to decide what's right and what's wrong. God, I don't know what to do here. Help me. You know, where is that top of that gas cap? Where's that gas cap? And I look and I look and I move everything. It's not here. Where did it go? It can't just vanish. And here it was stuck in the lawnmower flipper. And I lifted up the flipper and it fell out. Oh, where in the world was that at? He hears your prayers. He knows what you need before you ask. Amen? And so he's already made provision. He's going to make provision. He's going to let you know. You just got to be patient, right? And wait, wait on the Lord. Let that hope, you know, that hope. That, okay, so the servant of the Lord doesn't strive. He's gentle and don't want apt to teach, instructing those who oppose themselves. Peradventure God would grant them repentance and acknowledging of the truth. The blind man, he heard about Jesus coming, and he said, "Thou son of David, have mercy upon me." And the people that were leading the throng said, "Shh, shh, quiet, quiet, you know, you're going to disturb them. You know, he's, you know, all these people." And he said, he knew Jesus was coming. And so he knew that he needed to get to Jesus. Amen. And so what he cries out is, he cried saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." And then he tells his own disciples how he's going to have to go to Jerusalem and be crucified and all this stuff. And they don't understand what he's saying. That's what it says in the Bible. They don't understand what he's saying. But this guy understands, who's there sitting there, who probably has to sit there because he's blind and he can't be following Jesus all around like his disciples are and listening to his sermons all the time. They don't understand, but he understands that he needs to get Jesus' attention. So isn't it the mercy of God that causes this guy not to shut up? But the more louder he cries out. He cries, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." Because he believed in his heart, and God had put it in his heart, that God would have mercy on him if he cried out. Because God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Those around in the world is going to tell you, shut up. It's not getting anywhere. Your prayers aren't being heard. He is hearing your prayers. Jesus didn't answer right away. And maybe he didn't hear right away because of the crowd and the noise and everything. But somehow in the spirit, he knew. But the man didn't shut up. He just kept asking because he knew that was his answer. His answer was in Jesus. Amen? Your answer is in him. My answer is in him. You and I are complete in him. The world always wants to give us these things. Well, and this, and that, and this. No, I got to focus on he is the way, truth, and life. And his mercies are new every morning. And so he's going to answer me when it's time, I just got to be patient. I need this done, Lord. I need that. Just ask and then wait. Patiently wait. But keep, you're still focused on He's the answer and He's going to answer me when it's time. So anyway, praise God. That's what that is. Now we go to the Romans chapter 9. Almost done. Romans chapter 9, 8. They which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Sound familiar? We read that. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's to God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised you up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. And it was. The heathen remembered. They knew in Jericho what God had done to Pharaoh. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardens. So if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we need to thank God. I say we need to thank God. I mean, in the bottom of our heart, we need to thank God. And so during a bad day, just remember this, that your name is written in heaven, not because you did it, but because He did it. He called you and I out of the darkness into His marvelous light. And if you mess up, and you find yourself you messed up and you did something wrong, and Satan starts jumping all over you, you got to remember that, you know, no weapon that is formed against thee will prosper, and every tongue that rises up in judgment, you will condemn, because this is the inheritance, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, your inheritance. This is the inheritance of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. He's my righteousness, amen? Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you might be justified and clear when thou judgest. So blot out all my iniquities and all my sin. And God told us ahead of time, if I confess it, He'll forgive me and cleanse me. Amen? Amen. That's my hope. That's my expectation. That's what I look for. I keep myself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Not only because if I have mercy on me, I will have mercy on them. If I recognize that God is having mercy on me, then I can turn around and give it to them. Amen? God is not keeping track. You know, He wants them to come to repentance. He wants to give them repentance. We need to be praying that way. Okay. Wilt thou say then 10 unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of some the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endureth with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory? Now this is what fits us, see? That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he hath afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but of the Gentiles. Wow. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's for you and he's not against you. When we sin, we confess it, and he's there to cleanse us from it, to bring us back in it. But in Romans 12:1, we know that it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present yourself a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service or spiritual worship. By the mercies of God, calling on God, with God's help, you'd be able to present yourself a living sacrifice. Amen? Because I've tried to do it the other way. God, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to think this anymore. I'm not going to act that way anymore. And next week, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to think this anymore. I'm not going to act this way anymore. But it's only by the mercies of God that we can be what God wants us to be and do what God wants us to do. He's given us these promises. And he said, it's God that's working in you. It's God that's working in me both to will and also to do of his good pleasure. So to God be the glory. Amen? So keep yourselves in the love of God. And look. Look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. This is what God's will is for your life and for my life. Amen? Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And yet now also, after we've been saved, how much more is God's mercies ready for us, and they're new every morning. You know, I think you know this, but we know that he doesn't condone sin, and he's not just saying, well, that's okay. But in one way, it's okay. In the other way, but it's what I'm doing. If I meet it right, then what I'm doing is giving God the approval, the means to change me into his image from glory to glory. And it's through these exceeding great and precious promises that I obtain the divine nature. And I escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. It's God giving it to me. God giving it to you. It's a gift. What do you have that you've not received? And if you received it, then why are you boasting that you haven't received it? We have received. God gives it to us. Father, I just thank you and praise you this morning. God, I just pray that this word being written on our hearts, that the Spirit would bring it back to us in the time of our need, as you promised to do, that the Spirit would bring back to us the things you've told us, just when we need it the most. And God, not just us, but we then could comfort others with the comfort that we have received, your word, giving it to others, knowing that this is your will for them too, that you want to show mercy. Mercy rejoices against judgment. You don't take pleasure in the destruction of the wicked, but that they would repent. And God, we just pray for those in our lives that you've put us with, God, that need to know you. We pray, God, grant them repentance. God, grant them repentance. So they see you, and they see where they're at, and they see they need to come to you. Father, we just pray this in Jesus' name. Send forth laborers, we pray. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Praise God.